Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church Podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you.
We're just going to jump right into our sermon this morning. So if you would like to follow me along, follow along with me. We're going to be in John 15. That's where we'll spend most of our time today. I don't come up here very often without a guitar. So this is a little weird for me. It might be a little weird for you. Hopefully that's okay. It's okay to be a little weird. In case you were wondering, Pastor Brad and his family are traveling back from Niagara today from our Foursquare convention, so he's obviously a little bit unable to preach to us from a plane. So you got me. I hope that's okay. But I think it would be a good idea to pray before we get started. So why don't you join me in prayer before we get started? There, that should be where we're at. So Jesus, thank you that we can come and worship you. Through the word and through worship and song. And Lord, I just pray for clarity that my words would be your words, that I would speak clearly and that I would speak calmly, and that, Lord, as I speak, that you would bring just a real clarity to the words, that that you would bring just a clearness to what I say, and if what I say is just not quite right, that you would correct it as people hear it. Lord, I pray that, you would just help me as I speak your word, that it would be just rightly divided, and that you would help me to speak what you have for your people this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to try something a little different this morning. I figured since I'm the youth pastor and Brad is not here, I can get away with it. So over the course of the message, I might ask a question or two. They are not rhetorical. If you answer, I will throw candy at you. It's how we do it in youth ministry. Sorry, people who are online, if you have candy at home, you can throw it to yourself. It works for youth ministry. Hopefully it'll work here today. So to get us going, we're going to start with a question. So we live in an age that is increasingly more moving to wireless. Everything's going wireless. Just everything. So our first question is, what is actually better wired over wireless? Wire. Wow. That's just profound. Lights, sure, yeah. Love, sure. I appreciate it, yeah.
Power.
Okay, gotcha. Internet, yeah. Oh, that was a bad throw. Anything else? No, nothing? All right, cool. Wi-Fi? Oh. Snaked. Oh, ouch. No? Oh, just commenting. Yep, got it. So the most common answer that I found as I was searching was internet. Yeah. The internet speeds when you are not plugged in just drop significantly, like by half. So it's better to be plugged in. The other thing I found as I was searching was headphones, sound. So when you're not plugged in to sound, the quality will just drop significantly. I can get behind that. I appreciate good sound. But convenient over, you know, wireless headphones, it's more convenient to not be plugged in. But even wirelessly, we are so connected to everything around us. We have the world at our fingertips by picking up our phones. We can look and see what's happening on the other side of the world or our front doorbells to our houses by picking up our phones. We are constantly connected and plugged in to the world around us. But even though we are so connected, we are lonelier than ever. The increase in loneliness over the past few decades has risen astonishingly. Studies show that upwards of 60% of all people are reporting to feel lonely often or always. And those numbers are coming generally mostly from our youth and our young adults. The most mind-blowing thing about loneliness that I found is that it has an equivalent effect on our health to smoking 15 cigarettes per day. Per day. Loneliness is destroying people. It is destroying our youth. And yet we are supposed to be more connected than ever. I got emotional writing this. I'm getting emotional sharing this. Something has to change. It has to be a conscious choice led by individuals and led by the church. But one person can make a difference. And don't believe the lie that tells you you can't. But the next logical question would be, how? How can we make a difference? But I'm going to tell you right now, it's not groundbreaking. It is not this next level big scheme. It's very simple. But it will take effort. It will take conscious choice to do something about it. And it starts here. It starts with your relationship with Jesus. So we're going to jump into John 15 right away. But I'm going to give you some context for what we're going to jump into real quick. So John 15, is in the middle of a long discourse. If you have red letters in your Bible, you'll see that Jesus has just been talking, and he will continue talking for a very long time. He is filling the disciples with a whole lot of information. He is talking and talking and talking and talking. He's got a lot to say because we believe from the context that this is Jesus's last night. This is right before the crucifixion. This is part of the Last Supper. And he wants to give them as much information as he possibly can before the crucifixion, before he goes. We have John 14. We have Jesus telling them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through him. But he also keeps reminding them that he's got to go. He is going to die. This is going to happen. That it's inevitable. But he also keeps reminding them that because he's going to send the Holy Spirit. That there will be someone coming to remind them of all this stuff that he keeps telling them. He knows it's a lot. He's got a lot of information. He's saying a lot of things. So the Holy Spirit's going to come and remind them of that. Because I like to think that he's getting some looks from the disciples. Peter's kind of giving him a look. He's like, will there be a test and John's got his seventh notebook full, and he's keep getting notes, and James is poking him, because James is his brother, and I have brothers, and I know what they do, and they poke, and they bug, and that's just how brothers are. But chapter 14 ends with Jesus saying, come. Come now, let us leave. So this, they've left where they are, and likely they're headed toward the Garden of Gethsemane. But then we come to chapter 15, and it starts like this. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. We got really far. We're going to pause right there. This, like, seven words. My thought is, as they're walking, they walk past a vineyard. There's lots of them in Israel, lots of them in around Jerusalem. And Jesus is so good at using what's around him as illustrations. He still does it today, still does it for us. But he's using this illustration to share with his disciples. Many, many times in Scripture, God is illustrated as a gardener. It starts right from the beginning, right from Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, God is shown as a gardener in the Garden of Eden. And throughout the Old Testament, God is likened to a gardener within the prophets and within all of these other places where God is shown as the gardener. So this would be a familiar image to the disciples. But the thing that struck out to me was the humility of Jesus likening himself to a vine, to a plant. Other places in Scripture, we see Jesus called the bright morning star, the living stone, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and is to come. He calls himself the vine, the plant. It's the simplicity of it that struck out to me. It's something that we'll come back to a couple of times, is that it doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be complicated to work. So he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear or be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So I'll be honest with you. I don't know much about gardening. I don't know much about pruning, anything like that. I can push a lawnmower. I can use a shovel. I know how to get dirty. That's about it. So as I was looking about these verses and doing some study, I learned something about the original Greek word that I wanted to share with you. But I also have to point out, I don't know much about that either. I've got a youth ministry degree. And my professors didn't think that ancient Greek was really important for that. I kind of tend to agree with them. You know, a course on patching walls, fixing toilets might have been helpful, but they didn't include that either. So the word translated as cuts off here is arrow. It can also be translated as lifts up. And so why I believe that's important is because it paints a different picture of God as the gardener here. To me, cuts off paints a picture of God as one strike and you're done. It's harsh. And I don't think Scripture supports that. Scripture shows God as a God of second chances. The very act of sending Jesus to earth to die on a cross for us shows me a God of second chances. So I believe translating arrow as lifts up shows us a God who is a gardener that takes those branches that have fallen and aren't doing well and lifts them up, binds them, and supports them in a place where they can receive light and they can receive the nutrients that they need in order to thrive, in order to restore themselves and to bear fruit. So even before getting to where we're going, taking a different look at this word has already shown us a way for the broken to be restored. But then now we have to talk about pruning. So I have a tree out in front of my house. Well, I call it a tree because that's what it's supposed to be. But it's kind of more like a giant bush. At one point, somebody took the tree and chopped off the main trunk. Now all of the remaining branches have kind of taken up the cause of the tree and tried. And it looks like a giant bush, really. It's trying. So a couple of years ago, this tree, because of chopping off the top of it, it wasn't doing well. And so I took the shears. Keep in mind, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I went and I was like, well, there's a lot of dead things on there, and I guess the dead things aren't supposed to be there, so let's go for it. So I took the shears and I chopped off the dead things and threw them away and was like, okay. And took a look at the tree and was like, well, there's not much left there. Hopefully, it's a tree. Yeah, hopefully it figures out what to do with the rest of it. And it does its thing. Okay. But to my surprise, it figured it out. It grew and it went green and grew more branches, and today it looks mostly like a giant bush tree. But it's greener than it ever has, and so I learned the effect of pruning. So now I know that trees don't have feelings. But we do. And in theory, pruning for us looks similar to the tree. But because we're people with feelings, it hurts a lot more. But the other thing I know about pruning is it's also necessary for us in order for us to thrive. So believe me when I say that God is a good, good Father. And believe me when I say it's taken me a long time to be able to say that. And He is a fantastic gardener. He knows what He's doing, unlike me. He knows exactly what needs to come out of you and of me. He knows right where to cut in order to make us thrive. But that does not mean it is painless. Pruning is a painful process. I know, I've been through it. I have had to let go of people. I have had to let go of parts of myself, good and bad, in order to make room for what God had. Because what God had for me is better. Because He makes all things work for the good of those who love Him. I can't share in all the detail today because you don't have time for that. And we're going to do some testimonies in about a month. And so I'm going to share some of the details of that in about a month. so you can wait to hear me cry a lot. But we believe in a God that does not prune you just to leave you. He also restores us. And I promise you that is true. Because Jesus continues on in verse 4, when he says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you." So when we remain in him, he promises to remain in us. That is a promise that you can take to the bank. He says that no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we've already established that even though I tried, I know nothing about gardening. So let's use an example that hopefully we can all understand. So inside, if it'll let me open it, this clicker, there is a battery. I remove the battery, nothing happens, right? So it is no longer remaining. But if I put the battery back in, now it works, right? Let's try one more example. This is my phone. You can see I'm a nerd. If I do not plug this in and charge it, what happens to my phone? It dies. Thanks, Linda. It's so dramatic. It dies. Can I use my phone if it dies? No. Thanks, Levi. I heard you over there. Oh, that was a bad throw. Sorry, buddy. In order for me to continue using my phone, it needs to go back to the source to be charged. We are not so different, are we? No. In order for us to be fruitful, we need to continue to go back to the source. For us, the source is Jesus. Bringing this a little bit full circle. So the only solution for the problem we talked about, the rampant spread of loneliness, is to be plugged into the source, who is Jesus, the source of life. Remember in verse 5, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus wasn't saying that the disciples couldn't walk around, that they couldn't actually physically do anything. Like we see a couple of times that they were actually kind of bad fishermen, that they put the net on one side and didn't catch anything. And Jesus was like, hey, throw your net on the other side. And they caught a lot of fish. So maybe they couldn't do anything. But what he was saying was that they couldn't do anything of real, eternal value. We have to remain plugged into Jesus, who is our source, in order to make a difference. In order to see real, lasting, significant change in our lives and the lives of those around us. In a minute, we're going to talk about some practical ways that we can remain in Jesus, but we have to address, what does fruit look like? Jesus is talking a lot about fruit, but what does that look like? I'm pretty sure you guys are smart people. Yeah, you guys are smart people. You can pick up that we're not talking about apples and pears. But in our own lives, fruit looks like what the Apostle Paul writes about in Galatians 5, verse 22. He talks about, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, another word for patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Nope, don't want to go there yet. These characteristics will begin to develop in us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And we will act differently because we have been plugged into the source. On a wider scale, fruit looks like people coming to know Jesus. Whether that's through the work of the church or your conversations with your family or your neighbors or your friends, Jesus called us to go into the world and make disciples. But we don't know what part that is that we are to play in someone's journey. Again, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, where he talks about some are those that plant the seed, some are those that waters, but ultimately it's God that makes them grow. We may not be the person that gets to pray with somebody, that gets to be the one that leads them to Christ. But we might be the one planting the seeds. We might be the one watering the seed along the way. When I worked at Starbucks for a very long time, I had a friend there that I was working with. And because it was a work environment, I couldn't just be like, hey, let's sit down and talk about Jesus. But I knew that the guy was, he was searching. He was so close to coming to Jesus. But I couldn't just be like, hey, let's sit down. Let's have a conversation. But whenever I could, I would bring that into the conversation. And I was praying for him all the time. And I knew he was so close. And I knew he knew some of the other people that I knew who were Christians. And so I just did whatever I could to be a part of that journey for him. And a couple years later, I found out that he came to know Jesus. I wasn't the guy that got to sit down and pray with him and lead him to the Lord, but I played a part of his journey. It didn't matter that I don't care that I wasn't the one to lead him to Jesus. I got to be a part of his journey. And so because I played the part that I felt like the Lord was leading me to play, he came to know Jesus. And so that's so important. It doesn't matter that I didn't have to be the one to lead him to Jesus. I just knew that the Lord was telling me in those moments, hey, this is a moment. Just say something here. Just be praying for him. Just do this in this moment. We need to listen for the Lord's prompting in those moments. And it may not be the moment, but it may be just a part of the journey along the way. So for us, being connected and remaining plugged into Jesus, we can be listening for those promptings, be listening for those moments, and impacting the world around us. Are we starting to see it a little bit? In verse 6, Jesus says, if you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. So those are the consequences of not remaining plugged in, of not staying connected to the source. Verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Excuse me. So now verse 7, we have to be a little bit careful to read in the context of what Jesus is saying, because you could see this by itself and say, oh, it really looks like Jesus is asking me to, or telling me to ask for $1 million and he's going to give it to me. And spoilers, he's not. If we keep in mind that Jesus has been talking for a while and he's already talked about asking for things, we look back to where he mentioned that. So we looked back at chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. He says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The thing we have to keep in mind here when Jesus says something like, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, is that he says, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If it's bringing glory to the Son, glory to the Father through the Son, Jesus has your best interest in his heart. He has come to give us life and give us life fully. He's promised that in John 10:10. What happens when our desires, when we are plugged into Jesus, is that our desires change. Is that we will stop desiring for things like money and material things, and we will desire for the things that God desires. When suddenly the things that we ask for whatever we wish, are they look more like the souls of our neighbors and our friends and our family. Not the cars, not the houses, not the $1 million. But don't worry. He does have those things taken care of as well. Because he's promised to clothe the sparrows. He will clothe us. He will provide for us as well. Because he continues in verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. He's got you too. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus has promised us to love us the same love that the Father has shown him. The Father's love for Jesus has no beginning and no end. It's close. It's personal. It cannot be measured. It cannot be changed. That very same love is the love that Jesus has for you and for me. Remain in his love. Complete his joy and have your joy be complete in him. He chose to lay down his life for you to make a way for us to know him, to have a relationship with him, and to know his love. All that we have to do is to choose to remain plugged into the source. So as we begin to close this morning, afternoon, by a couple minutes, we're going to talk about a couple of ways that we can practically do that, to practically remain plugged into the source. None of these will come as a shock. They're not an exhaustive list, but they're just a few things to remind us of how we can be plugged into the source, who is Jesus. The first thing we're going to talk about is what Jesus talked about in verse 10. So it says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Simply put, do as he says. The Bible's pretty clear on a lot of things. It says, don't, then don't. It says, do, then do. Now, I understand that's an overgeneralization. We don't need to sacrifice animals anymore. Don't do that. Jesus paid the price for all of that. Don't worry about it. Hopefully you understand what I'm saying there. But we can focus on some things that make a difference. We are told many times to love our neighbors, but we kind of tend to avoid them. Avoidance does not equal love. You get the idea? If the Holy Spirit is prompting you to go and pray for somebody, and we don't, that's disobedience. That's not obeying his command. Part of remaining in Jesus is doing what he asks us to do. And part of that will be outside of our comfort zones. I am up here without a guitar, okay? I'm telling you it's possible. Another practical way that we can remain in Jesus is through prayer. We need to be spending intentional times in prayer seeking Jesus. He told us in these verses that we can ask and he will give us anything. But we know that looks different when we are connected with him, because he will shape our desires to look more like his. There's an old song that says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." Intentional prayer is so important for remaining connected to Jesus, being still and listening, pleading for change, pleading for the lost. Praise, being grateful for what he has done. Each time is different. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. It does not have to be scripted. The most common prayer I ever pray is, "Lord, I'm going to need your help on this one. Because someone's come up to me and they've shared something and I have no idea what to say. And he sure better have an answer because I've got nothing." So my prayer is, "Lord, I'm going to need your help on this one. Because it just, I got nothing. So I'm going to need some help." So let's put it this way. If I never speak to my wife, Tracy, I'm not going to know who she is. Likewise, we cannot remain connected to Jesus without prayer. If we do not talk to him, we will not know who he is. And the last way that we can remain connected to Jesus is being in the Word. Sorry, the last way we're going to talk about, not the last way. I'll tell you right now, pretty straightforwardly, it is impossible for you to know what Jesus sounds like if you do not know what he has already said. It is impossible for you to know what Jesus sounds like if you do not know what he has already said. He will not tell you something different from what he has already said. Jesus said in verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you." And my words remain in you. If you don't know what he sounds like, how will you ever be able to figure out what he doesn't sound like? So I want to be very clear. Do not hear this as a guilt trip. I do not want you to feel guilty for not doing it. You cannot change the past. But do feel motivated to change the future. You can change what you're going to do. It is incredibly important for your ability to remain plugged into Jesus. Be in the Word. So if you're a youth that's been around for any amount of time, you've probably heard this story. But when I was a kid, I lived in a cul-de-sac. So kind of right in the middle at the bottom of the cul-de-sac. And I was allowed to play around for as far as we could hear my dad yell. And my dad was a pretty big guy, and he could yell pretty loud. And so we could go pretty far. But if I went further than my dad could yell, we were in a lot of trouble. And it was a lot of trouble. But if we could hear him yell, we could go as far as, you know, as far as we could. It's pretty similar here. Is that if you are not reading your Bible, how will you know to hear the voice of Jesus among all the other noise that's around? So when I was in college, the Bible kind of became a textbook. I did a 2-year Bible college youth ministry program. And there was a lot of, like, you need to read. So you did, like, Old Testament, New Testament. You did, like, the Pentateuch, the Gospels. But there's so much of it overlapped at the same time. And you had to read through the Old Testament thing. You had to read through the whole Old Testament for the course. Or the Pentateuch, which is the first 5 books of the Bible. You had to read through the whole Pentateuch. And they overlapped. So you had to do it twice. You couldn't do it, like, Old Testament. You couldn't read the... then. You get it. So for me, I had to read a lot of the Bible, and it wasn't for like study. It wasn't for like my personal devotions. It was a textbook that I had to read through for that. And it was, for me, it was out of college. It was really hard to get out of that mindset. And for a while out of college, it was like, because the Bible became a textbook, it was hard to get back into personal devotions of reading the Bible. And because it was so hard to just read the Bible to know Jesus, I kind of just stopped for a while. And so there was a portion of my life that I just didn't read the Bible. There was probably 4 or 5 years where it was like, every time I picked it up, it just, all of that feeling of textbook just came back. And it was like, I don't want to do this. Of like, this is now study. This is now like grueling. This is brings all those feelings of like, I'm doing this as a textbook came back. And I was like, this is really hard to just read this for the pleasure of getting to know God. And so I really had to work at coming back to reading the Bible to know Jesus. And for a long time, it was just kind of a grueling thing. And over time, it became just a lot of work to just, no, I got it. I need to know Jesus. And so it just a lot of work. And I'll tell you, after a lot of time and a lot of work of doing that, of trying to reshape how I thought about the Bible and how I thought about the Bible, it took so much time and effort, but it was worth it, because if I hadn't done that, after losing my dad to cancer, I don't know where I would be. There's so much about the Bible and about knowing Jesus through his word that got me through one of the darkest and hardest periods of my life. Because I knew who Jesus was. And I'll tell you, there's a long time where it was hard to trust and hard to believe those things. But in my heart and in my soul, deep down, because I read the Bible and I knew the words and I knew who Jesus really was, those things helped me to come back. And it took a long time. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of processing. And I'm still not fully there. And I don't know how long it's going to take. But I have no idea where I would be without the work that led to that point. And so I'll tell you, start now. If you're not there, start now. Because it's so important. It makes all the difference in the world. I promise you it's worth it. I promise you it is. So if you don't know where to start, ask for help. Lori will be so glad to help you, Pastor Lori, and myself. Pastor Brad, when he gets back, we'll be so glad to help you. It's so important. But we began with a premise that we have a problem of loneliness, that there is just an epidemic of loneliness. But are you beginning to see how we can make a difference? If we remain plugged into Jesus as our source, we will be changed. And through that change, we can begin to impact the world around us. And then they can impact the world around them. And it can continue onward and onward and onward and onward. Because if we're being honest, eternity is at stake. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that we can remain in you, that we can remain in your love, that we can remain in your joy, that we can be complete in you. Lord, help us to find this as motivating, as encouraging, as just the jump that we need to plug ourselves in. Lord, help us find the encouragement and strength to be plugged into you. Lord, will we see the importance of that? Will we see the importance of the change that you can make in our lives, that we can see where the difference can be made and the motivation to make that change and to remain in you? Lord, we look to you. Would you lead us? Would you guide us? Would you be just the source of everything that we need? We love you. We need you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you are and all that you have done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
I've done some things I can't take back. Seen sickness overtake my dad.
Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family, and that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu, or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go.
To be so close, I felt numb and can't take much more. I need you to make things whole. I've been lost, Lord, search my soul. I need some hope. This season's made me feel alone. I've questioned God, why don't you move? Then prayed for him to speak in truth. I've witnessed things I can't explain. I know he's good, he's never changed. But life is hard and full of pain. God, please help remind me of the things I cannot see. When I'm broken down, defeated, believing lies from the enemy. God, please help remind me of the day death lost its sting. That I know you have a plan in the midst of suffering. I need you to make things whole. I've been lost, Lord, search my soul. I need you to be so close. Life to the broken things.